Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, your faithful co-host. Being here yet again, Justin is out on assignment this week, experiencing high-level entrepreneurial and coaching pursuits, so we can't wait to hear from him. Next week, he can share his insights and experiences with us. Next week, it'll be lots of fun to hear what he's doing. But folks, as promised, today we have a fantastic guest on our show. You know, one of the things that we like to do is find guests that are coaches, obviously. And there's so many different types of coaches out there. And I think our guest today is a pretty interesting defined space, almost in her own right. So let her talk about her coaching. And so we have Donna Tadich with us today. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's just a real pleasure to be able to be here with you today and to share insights about the type of coaching that I do. I try to focus on individuals that are interested in their spiritual life, growing in relationship with God. I also, because of the fact that I have a lot of experience with family, a mother of 8 children, work with parents and individuals to grow their family life. And then just in the midst of running business, having a large family, I've learned a lot about organization and life management skills. And so that's another aspect that I focus on and help individuals.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing that you have enough time to even do this, but your passion and is clear, and man, you just have a great website and a lot of good things. So with all that said, you know, you have a lot of life experience as well. You're a business owner and a busy mom as well. So kind of tell our listeners how did you get into the coaching space, and what were some of the forces and thoughts that led you to become a coach?
Well, a number of years ago, I found myself at a very low place in life. I had had a marriage of 26 years end and a marriage of 3 months end. And I was just lost. Didn't know who I was and what I needed to do to recover. And as a result of that, it was suggested to me that I needed to go on a journey of healing myself. And I've done that. And with that experience, both in my personal life and just through the different trainings that I've been involved in, I feel like I have a lot to offer individuals who find them at a place where they have to kind of redefine or find their identity and then move into the last seasons of their life. What's next?
Excellent. So the way you've divided your service lines, I know that you have life coaching, and there's heart healing, deals with the belief system, and then consulting, which is very interesting. Lines of division and service lines. So if you'd like, talk a little bit about the life coaching and how you incorporate spiritual principles, Christian principles into your work.
Well, my relationship with God impacts every aspect of my life. So it overlaps into the things that I share with other individuals and how to help them overcome obstacles in their lives. We all have different belief systems, what we think and how that impacts what we do. And so what I like to do when I come along individuals in life coaching and also belief counseling is uncover those hidden root systems. Instead of just trying to trim the branches off of a tree, wondering why we keep ending up with the fruit that we have in our lives, or do behavior modification, I'd rather go and deal with the root system and figure out, why do I keep producing that? What's going on below the system or below the ground, and uproot those things that are lies, uproot things that I'm expecting that I need to, or limiting beliefs, and come to a place where I can produce the fruit that I really want to see in my own life.
Okay. And then, you know, working with others to help them have that production. Now, I love the different mission statements that you have that kind of go across your service line. So that's really good, because part of the coach training, right, we have a mission and a vision and an elevator speech. So I do like the fact, I think that's very great. I have three service lines, and yet I don't even have a mission statement for those. So I'm looking at what you've done here, and it's been very inspiring. So if you want to talk about maybe the inner healing, you know, the inner healing mission statement, and you know, what that means, and what people, because there's a lot going on here with the inner healing, and I know our listeners would like to hear about that.
Yes, these are listed as well on my website, findwisdomsway.com, and you're welcome to go there and contact me later after you listen to this. But my vision for Wisdom's Way is to partner with people on the path of wisdom that leads them to their true identity, inner transformation, and real freedom, so that you can get unstuck and so that you'll be able to fulfill your purpose, calling, or destiny. We all want to leave a legacy or a lasting impact. With the inner healing, again, we have bitter fruit in our lives. There's things that are happening that we don't always understand. Why does that keep happening? And I come alongside and help you uncover what that is, the root system that's going on, and help you find that inner transformation of freedom. There's different tools that I like to use with forgiveness, mercy, grace, just God's, the things that he's revealed in scripture on how to find healing. We apply those tools along with active listening, being led by the Holy Spirit, and through different prayers that I've found very helpful, understanding spiritual gifts and then helping you unlock your story.
I know that we all have to deal with bitter fruit. I know one of the core tenets of coaching, and I think all the coaches and myself included, what we help our clients with is removing self-limiting beliefs, right? And that is a huge, huge, I think, anchor point of all coaching, secular, Christian, or other coaching, is to remove that. The thing I liked so much was about the identify the bitter fruit in your life. You know what I mean? And you know, because there are just negative things that happen, right, as a process of life, and we don't have all the answers. You know, we're not supposed to have the answers many times, right? That's not our place to have those answers. And God has, you know, God has those answers, and God has that plan. And so, you know, talk a little bit about, so if somebody's dealing with bitter fruit, or, you know, and talk about how you would either look at the root causes, which we know about original sin, but root causes, and B, what else would you do to help this person, I guess, what, be patient, or to plug in into God's will, or stay in the center of his will, to kind of get through, you know, get through that trial.
Generally, I think that it's important that we understand that God has created us, and he's after a relationship with us. It's not just a list of to-dos or don'ts. He wants to be encountering us on a day-to-day basis, speaking into our life in a number of ways. And what I try to do with clients that I'm coaching or walking through a place of healing is to teach them how to encounter the Lord, how to hear his voice, how to understand who they are, who he created them to be, so that they can move forward. So prayer and active listening to both the Holy Spirit and also to what the Lord's saying is a part of that. And then also training or showing them how to discover what that is in scripture, so that it's not just lists, but it's actually growing in relationship with God.
Excellent. Now, I know you know, this is going to sound kind of strange to some of our listeners. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit, okay? And talk about what that is, because I know there's some people out there that are probably going, what are you talking about? Like, what on earth are you talking about? What is, you know, the Holy Spirit? And so kind of, if you want, put you on blast, kind of explain what the Holy Spirit is in the Christian life. And because I think that is, you know, that is an unshakable thing. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is with us as Christians. So, I mean, so I'm glad that you bring this out in black and white. I love it. But talk to our listeners about what the Holy Spirit is and how that then plays a role in the act of listening and prayer and restoration and reconciliation.
Well, when you become a believer and you trust in what Jesus accomplished for you to be able to be restored to God the Father, the Holy Spirit is given to you as a down payment or gift, and he lives in you, in your inner man, so that you can have power or grace to walk out God's purpose and assignment for you. Part of that is walking in obedience to the things he's revealed in Scripture, and part of that is the day-to-day things that he puts in front of you. Sometimes it's divine appointments that you have with individuals, and he just prompts you to say certain things. Sometimes you remember things or think of things that you know you couldn't have thought of. And we have an imagination, and he gives us pictures and images, and he can speak to us through that. It's developing spiritual senses, just like we have the five senses, you know, ears to hear, eyes to see, you know, we taste things. We want to have those same kinds of experiences in our relationship with the Lord. We want to hear what he's saying, and we want to see what he's showing us. And I help people unlock those senses so that they can grow in their relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I know everybody loves it. I put them on the spot. Like, I'm going to ask you this question real quick. Like, oh my gosh. But that is a great answer. And you know, and that's so true. And I like how this is in the inner healing area. We'll talk about life coaching and consulting and belief counseling here in a minute, but kind of going back to the inner healing piece. Okay. It's fantastic. What are some of the things you're seeing your clients or clientele? What are some of the things that they're healing from? What are some of the wounds that you're seeing in your clients that you're helping them with?
Oftentimes when we're young, we develop a belief system, a way that we believe life works through interaction with our parents, through interaction with other people at school, interaction with just people around us, sometimes harmful things, sometimes good things. And so it can be lies that they believe. Maybe a student was always sitting in the back of the room and they didn't know why they were sitting there, but that teacher always just put people in a grouping based on their last name. Well, they didn't realize that. So they felt like they were ignored and rejected. And so then they began to develop that expectancy, and they went out throughout their life, well, people just don't notice me. I'm always at the back. I'm never at the front. Well, they develop a belief system and they go through life living that way. Well, then people begin to treat them that way because that's what they believe, and what they sow, they actually reap back. Well, once they discover that it happened or started way back then, they can change that agreement and walk with what's true, and it unlocks their potential, and it's no longer limiting to them.
Right. The old fear, false evidence that appears real. People have lived with some faulty information. Right. They believe lies about themselves and
about God and about others.
And so, absolutely. So I think that's just an excellent framework to talk about, because I think, I guess I'll be bold enough to say that some of the things that we have in our minds, in our hearts, that have that negativity, come from a very bad place, and it's a spiritual illness of sorts, you know. And I know, you know, we're here as coaches, and we're here to help people with their own journey. We're not providing the answers. We're not judging people. But we're partnering with people. We're being present with our clients, and being with them, and you know, using some of these tools to accomplish healing and wholeness. So On the inner healing, do you have any other insights on other tools or anything that you use to promote that inner healing and wholeness?
Well, this is going to go back to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter, as a counselor, to edify, encourage, and build us up, to grow us and strengthen us in our inner man. And the Holy Spirit is living and active. And so I rely on the Holy Spirit and the things that I'm doing in interactions with others. And I ask questions. And then I also listen to the person. Sometimes when you're speaking out loud, you have kind of an epiphany, a reality check, like, oh, I didn't realize I thought that, or I didn't realize I believed that. So through the process of asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things, and also the person speaking it out loud, they reveal what's in the heart, and not just what the right answers are in our head, but what's really in the heart. And that is what helps people move to a place of freedom.
Absolutely. You know, I know I do some telephone coaching, but we've had coaches on the show that did coaching on the telephone and do coaching on the telephone. But sometimes when you're in front of a person face to face and you're having that dialogue, to me, I feel more easily led and, you know, receptive to things that happen in a spiritual and supernatural way with the Spirit. You know, just, why did I even think about that? You know, how did I even come up with that? How did I even say that? And so that's why I'm always such a fan of being with my clients personally, if at all possible. So I want to talk a little bit. I want to jump into belief counseling. Okay, so, or the belief piece of what you do. And I think that's another very core aspect of coaching. Our values, morals, and beliefs shape our thinking, they shape our emotions, and then they shape our actions. And so I guess if you could talk a little bit about, so you have action plans and gifts and some interesting assignments here in the belief category and heart healing. So talk a little bit about your work there.
We do what we do because we believe what we believe. And if we don't identify those beliefs, we're going to continue to repeat things that we don't really want in our life. Those are the bitter fruits that are showing up on the tree. And I think you have to, you know, what you trim over here and then something else sprouts out, and then you trim over here and something else sprouts out. But if you don't ever really uproot the wrong belief system, you're not going to have real lasting change. You're just always going to be fixing something else. And I have found that if you step back from the situation and dig deep and discover what those beliefs are, then you're able to bring change. I know with individuals that I've worked with, sometimes you're surprised at your beliefs. You know, maybe as a child, you thought that you were ugly and you had an awkward stage in there, but you never really changed that thinking. So then you continue to move through life and you still feel that way about yourself, even though that may be totally the opposite. Or even like, you know, people who struggle with eating disorders, they feel and believe that they're fat or that they're large or bigger than they are. And they actually make decisions to harm themselves and deprive themselves of things because of that faulty belief system. So what we want to do is come back to, where did that originate? Where did that start? It didn't just happen. And we go back to that situation in life, and through the Holy Spirit's power and revelation that he brings, he shows us, where did that happen? And then we can uproot that so that new things can be planted and the fruit that we want in our lives to happen happens.
Excellent. Now I want to jump and hold that thought, but let's drag it into the relationship area. Okay. If we're all nodding heads, like, okay. So, you know, anyway, but the relationship area, choosing partners that have been not the best choices. Thank you. And sometimes there's a cycle there, and that kind of roots back into some of just what you're saying, some of the beliefs about yourself that then the person will gravitate toward one type of partner or another that could be very destructive. Can you talk a little bit about your work in the relationship or partner sphere there?
That's often the case in relationships. We wonder, why do we keep attracting the same kind of person? especially when that person is not healthy for us, they cross boundaries or they're harmful even. A lot of people are in harmful relationships or toxic relationships and they don't know why. Why do they keep ending up with people who use them or hurt them? And it comes back to wrong belief systems. And we like to go in the clients that I've helped, we go and we find those roots. Where did it happen? Where did it start? So that we can uproot that and then establish healthy boundaries and healthy relationships. And what you sow, you reap. So if you sow the wrong thinking, you're going to reap from that thinking. But if we can walk in a place where we understand truth about who we are, why we're here, how God created us, what's our destiny and purpose, then we can actually transform and move into healthy places instead of walking in those toxic places.
Okay, yeah, and that's a process to get there. That's a process, and man, I mean, for your client and the work that I've done to have that trust and that coaching alliance and that relationship, and you know, and having your client be able to really kind of feel comfortable and share and talk about themselves. So, you're right, and a lot of the work that I've done with men seems to point with some injury, if you will, psychological and spiritual injury, anywhere from 7 to 12 or 13 years old. And that could have been a lot of things, a trauma of some physical, emotional, sexual. So there's a, and then that root, that unresolved piece, not for all, but for many, that unresolved piece, it manifests itself, right, with a bitter fruit, a pornography addiction or substance use disorder or acting out inappropriately, boundary violating behaviors, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this is something that is not just, you know, for women, it's men as well. The trauma and some of the other things might take a, or the output might be more of an offending reaching out and violating output. And sometimes women might turn that more inward and, but anyway, I think that's great. I think that's very clear how you're clearly stating, hey, we you know, part of our work together is we're going to identify some of the core issues that might have been the template for where we are today. And so let your client know that up front. I think that's really good because there are a lot of coaches and I'm going to go back. Reality therapy was another thing that was big back in the day. But anyway, you just kind of work in the here and now. People are being mindful. They're doing things in the moment, but not necessarily go. There's nothing wrong with that either. But so anyhow, another thing I wanted to bring up that I see. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the things that's unique about what I can do as a life coach and a belief therapist is, you know, life coaches look in the windshield. You look at where you're headed and what you're going to be doing, where you want to go. And belief therapists look at the rear view mirror. Why am I where I'm at? And for me to be able to do both with a person that is a client, I have the ability to help people move forward. But if we run into a place where we're stuck, we can take a look backwards so that we can keep moving forward. And so I feel like that's a valuable tool to individuals that I work with.
Excellent. And that is a great tool. You also talk about in your material, you talk a little bit about accountability. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about how you do that, how you serve that accountability function with your clients, where it might look different for different types of issues. So if you could, and look, and I'm big on accountability. I think on many of my executive cases, I am doing more accountability checks and surprise calls. I kind of negotiate strangely in my work, you know, where it's fairly seamless for multiple months. And we have our times we schedule together, but then throughout, I mean, it's like pop quizzes. I may call like a thief in the night. I'll be calling, you know, 9 p.m., you know, checking in, how you doing? And so many times on those accountability calls, oh man, thanks for checking in. I was actually struggling. And that's one of those moments where the Spirit's kind of guiding me right to make that call. But anyhow, enough about that. But how do you do the accountability work for your clients?
Well, what I find is that I do a lot of active listening, so that it's not just my ideas that I'm giving to you. It's your ideas that you're actually putting in place for you to implement. Sometimes it's just they're within you. You just haven't mined them out. So I help do that with questions and active listening. Once you set forth a course of action, then I try to make sure that that's something that is a system that you will do, not a system that everyone else will do. And with the organizational skills and just life management skills that I've had, I'm able to help people identify a unique system for themselves and then a way to hold themselves accountable. And then I walk that process out with them. But it's definitely, I think, has to be individual. What one person will do might not be what another person will do, but by doing it alongside them in a partnership, then they're more likely to follow through. And I'm just the person they have to report back to help make sure that it got accomplished.
Excellent. I want to talk about the tools of love: forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Okay. And let's spend a couple of minutes on that if we can, about, you know, realigning. You talk about realigning the clients, hopefully, to, you know, spiritual truths, but through these tools of love, and kind of speak to that. I love that, you know, the three you bring out are forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And what was your thinking behind that? I'm excited to hear why you picked those three and how that works for your work.
Well, everyone's created with a deep need and desire to be loved and to love. God put that in us, and he meets those needs and then empowers us to love other people. Oftentimes we have belief systems that we view God with wrong ways of thinking. We see him sometimes as this harsh ruler who's going to get us, or depending on what our relationships were with adults in our lives when we were children, we often take and project that onto God, and we don't really feel that he loves us. Sometimes we've been through very difficult situations and we wonder, where is he? What happened? Why did he let this happen to me? And so we attribute those things that other people made choices on to him, and we don't experience and feel his love. So part of interaction is to be able to encounter what that, in a real way, a relationship with him where we experience his love, and then to be able to walk through a process of realizing we've been forgiven and forgiving others. Oftentimes people are held hostage because they haven't forgiven individuals, and that actually is a root that needs to be uprooted and forgiveness planted. When they do, they're actually finding that they're set free. It doesn't always impact the other person as much as it impacts you, because you're holding on to that bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and that grows bitter fruit. So if you can uproot that, plant forgiveness both in receiving it and extending it, you can have real transformation in your life. I think, you know, grace, we don't have the power to do what we need to do on our own. And it's like, you know, being a light, but you're not plugged in. You're a light. We're all created in God's image. But if we're not plugged into the power source, we're not actually able to do what we were designed and created to do. We don't even know our identity. But once we establish relationship with God, then we're able to plug into the power source that he's given us, so that we can actually shine and be a impacting vehicle in the world.
Fantastic. So, you know, while we're here on those gifts and areas for development, I also want to go into the grief or loss. Okay. Because when grief and loss, sometimes some of those very questions come out, you know, how could this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Particularly when somebody grieving the loss of a relationship, grieving the loss of someone who might have passed away suddenly or before their time, if you will, by, you know, in the eye of the beholder, etc., or other types of grief and loss. So I think talk a little bit about some of your work in grief and loss and how that connects with some of these traits.
Well, this is a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart. I've experienced a lot of grief and loss in a variety of ways in my life. And I think the first thing is just to validate that it's okay, that we feel that way, and honor the different aspects of our heart that are broken or crushed. God cares a lot about the brokenhearted and those who are crushed, and he wants to be near them. And so being able to establish a relationship with him and hear how he wants to speak into that situation helps us be able to process it in a way that we can actually grow and move toward healing. But sometimes we find ourselves stuck and we don't know how to move forward. We don't know how to let go of some things. We don't know how to even begin to live again. And we don't even understand the stages of grief and letting ourselves go through that process. And so I individuals that I've helped, we identify where are we. We honor where we are and we honor the emotions that we're experiencing. And then where do we want to move toward and how can we move toward that place in a way that's at a pace that that person can actually live up to. Some people want to move on too quickly and they're living in denial. Some people want to stay there forever and they can't function in life. And we want to find the right pace for each individual so that they can do what they need to get done, but also honor the loss that they've experienced.
Right. So it is, and that is a very delicate balance sometimes that we walk as a coach. And actually, there's some accountability involved in grief and loss clients. You know, we're holding them accountable. And so, you know, one of the things I'm noticing about identifying core values and passions, okay, and kind of rolling out of the grief and loss piece, because I think, you know, that would work for grief and loss as well, moving forward in that process, but also for virtually every coaching client, regardless of why they're seeing us for coaching, part of it is identifying core values and passions. I like the thing about passions, you know, and I was wondering, what are some of the things that you use? I know some coaches use tests and inventories and those types of things, but can you talk a little bit about how you help your clients identify their core values and passions?
The tests and inventories are helpful if you don't really have a starting place or you don't know yourself very well. But I think being able to ask good questions so that a person can identify what excites them, what's in their heart, usually it's just locked inside of you and it's unlocking that process through questions and being able to have a safe place to actually express yourself where you're heard. Lots of times life is so busy, people aren't even listening to the things that other people are saying. They're just thinking about all the things they need to get done. And I try to create a safe place for people to be able to explore those things, get to know who they are. I have used a tool that is very helpful to me, and it was called Unlocking Your History. It's your story based on your history. Your history usually leads you to your future, where you're going and the individuals that you can impact the most. And oftentimes your history feels like something you should lock away or has shame or guilt or just condemnation. But it's really actually when you overcome those things where you have the greatest power and authority to walk into your destiny. So we spend some time looking at those things. Lance Walnow put that out, and it was just one of the things that was very impactful for me in moving forward. And so I find that it helps other individuals as well.
Well, staying right there on that experience, what was it about your history? Were you able to, and of course with your clients, but we'll talk about you for a minute if you want, or your clients, doesn't matter. But through that process and through that journey of that very technique, were you able to identify core values?
I did identify core values in the sense I loved when I was young, even in my teens, or upper teens, people twice my age would come and ask me questions. They would seek my counsel on situations. And I always thought that was really strange. Like, what do I know? I'm so young. And they always felt like they could share things confidentially with me because I was trustworthy. And I know loving people and honoring people was important to me. And by going back to that, I realized, oh, this is something that's been zigzagging throughout my entire life. I've been put in situations where I've had to help mediate or help encourage people or organize things or move people forward. And so it makes me feel wonderful when I see that in other individuals where they walk in, who know who they are, they experience this love, and they are able to move forward.
Okay. No, it's that is good. 'Cause I mean, you know, having that understanding of who we are and where we've come from, because it helps you identify to what you were clinging to, right? What morals and values and beliefs you were clinging to that kept you in that zone, right? I mean, those are the anchors or the right of your thinking operating system, I guess you might say. And so, you know, I think moving forward, and you do this, you know, setting goals, clarifying results, and all these other, some identification of some goals, short term and long term, and then, you know, assisting our clients, you know, reach those goals. But, you know, it's for me, and I think for a good segment of your clients, and for my clients, is get me out of this pain, right? Get, you know, I am in pain right now. I am suffering right now. In the frame of many of my clients, I'm about ready to suffer some consequences or some external consequences, either with employment or relationship or even legal status, as it turns out with some of my clients, you know, that there's a lot going on. So it's just kind of get me out of this pain. And so I think that pain can be a motivator for change, or kind of should be that thorn, you know, that Paul talks about. I mean, you know, it should be this point to rally around as a catalyst for positive change and positive thinking. But are a lot of your clients, do you have a segment of your clients that are in pain and you're there to assist?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's common to all people. Why change if you're not really feeling anything from the effects of what your decisions are happening? So yeah, I mean, we don't like where we are. We don't like the repeating patterns that we see or the bitter fruit that's happening, and we want out of our situation. Sometimes the very situation, though, is a gift to us to be able to awaken us to the realities of what's going on below, so that we can address the real issues, not the immediate pain that is circumstantial, but the reason we got there. And so, you know, instead of just taking a Tylenol when you have, you know, lung cancer, you really need to deal with the lung cancer and not just keep taking Tylenol for the pain. And so I feel like by identifying the root issues, you're able to actually not just alleviate the immediate pain, but help to move to a place that you're not repeating that pain over and over again.
Exactly. Repeating that pain over and over again, and right, different. So there may be different morals, different values, or change in morals, values, and beliefs to get a more positive, productive path. Interestingly, you know, you talk about living out your true identity and purpose, living out your true identity. And that's an interesting, those are some big words, right? Because, you know, your true identity and purpose, I mean, that is something that, you know, I mean, people have goals, and people have aspirations, right? Well, my future goal was to do XYZ by XYZ and achieve this and this and this benchmark, or be out of pain, or be living a better life, you know. But I think that's kind of interesting, you know, because in coaching, right, we, you know, good coaches ask good questions, right? And you just mentioned that before. And sometimes this true identity is a big fat question mark. Because especially what we're talking about today, you know, using a Christian frame and seeing what the Holy Spirit and prayer reveal to you and to your client and us about what needs to happen, you know, with your client, if you will, or what the next opportunity or what the next move is. So, you know, true identity and purpose, and the closer you are to that, the better. But I really, you know, I think I love that you say your true identity, because deviations from that true identity cause problems every time, right? When we're deviating from that, there's consequences. And so getting people on that track to what their true purpose is, sometimes if they have that purpose, the identity piece will follow. It can backfill. I mean, that's kind of that's what I do. You know? I mean, if we kind of have a line on that true purpose, then we can, right, backfill the thinking and things, at least with male clients. I would dare not say that otherwise. But so tell me your thoughts about, you know, discovering the true identity and someone's true purpose and your experience with that.
Well, it probably seems pretty obvious to state this again, but I come from a biblical worldview and a God view that God created us each unique. We each have a purpose and assignment on earth that we're given. I think a lot of people wander around, either stuck in Egypt, they're wandering around in the wilderness, and they haven't really entered into the promised land. And my desire is to help people get unstuck from Egypt, to be set free from that place, not wander around, but to actually find the promised land. Who, what makes you feel alive? When is your spirit doing what energizes it and is cooperating with what God's calling you to? Your DNA is unique, and so is your calling. And so it's finding that blueprint. What does it look like? And he put those things inside your heart, and we unlock them so that you can actually move toward that. And oftentimes it's found in your history and then just the desires of your heart so that you can move forward and have revelation in that. I think because there's such a fatherless generation, lots for so many decades, that there are a lot of people that didn't have fathers growing up that told them who they were, identified who they were. And I think God the Father wants to be able to do that for his children. And as he speaks that into us, then we can walk according to what he's called us to.
All right. Very good. And so, yeah. And as a parent, I've had the privilege of being there and being present, you know, for my kids' lives. And man, you know, quantity time, you know what I mean? Now that I look back on it, quantity time is better than quality time. So, but yeah, being there and being present, just being there means so much. And that can be a challenge when, you know, you don't have that earthly father and you seek a heavenly father, but then heavenly father gives us advice and direction through scripture. And boy, it's just can be a chore for people, you know, who are either on the fence or skeptical or agnostic or whatever, yes, you know, south of that. And it's like, I'm not going to read this stuff anyway, but hopefully, you know, the folks you would see would obviously either already be a believer, certainly new and were seeking or something like that. But you never know. I've encountered clients honestly that told me, you know, straight up, you know, hey man, it looks like you're a Baptist. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm an atheist and all this and that. And I'm like, okay, let's just do the work anyway. And so some folks have really made some really fantastic spiritual gains in their coaching, as well as, you know, personal, financial, relational, and stuff like that. So one of the fun things I see here, being a male, since we're going to talk about, developing a grid to determine where you can focus energy and time. Oh boy, those are just a grid. You know, it's like a crossword puzzle. That's two dimensional. It's something. I'm excited to hear about this. But anyway, because I love illustrations, I love puzzles, I love, you know, to work through problems or fill stuff into a square. But let's talk about that, about the grid. Maybe you mean that in a different context, but let's hear about the grid that you use that helps determine how folks, your clients, should focus their energy and time.
Well, I think it's the struggle that people feel between good, better, and best. We all have opportunities that present themselves, and we're not sure always if we should or shouldn't do that. And by identifying your identity and understanding your core values and your passions, you develop a lens to look at opportunities and go, that doesn't fit within the paradigm, worldview, or what I understand to be true about me and what I'm called to. So I need to say no to that. Sometimes saying no is the hardest answer to give, but it's actually the best answer in a lot of situations so that we can focus on the bigger impact that we want to have in our legacy. And so we work together. It's almost like steps. You have to know who you are. You have to be able to understand your core values and passions. You understand your assignment, why you're here, then you now have a grid. And if you're deviating from that grid, as a coach for you, I can remind you who you are and remind you what you said that your passions and desires are, so that you can make good decisions and stay on track and not get sidetracked.
Awesome. I'm just, as you're talking, I'm just having this flash of boundaries and boundary setting and boundary holding. And so something might come up that violates that, or an opportunity that comes up, that's a choice to be made that is contra to your values and beliefs. You know, it's something bad, like, you know, I don't want to say what an example would be, but so great. I think, you know, that's just a huge, right.
We need to have a scale to weigh things. How do we make decisions? How do we determine what we're supposed to do? How do we even know what God's will is? A lot of individuals, even Christians, they're just plugging away. They're not quite sure, is this God's will or not? And they don't know how to determine that through hearing his voice, understanding scriptures, how to get wise counsel. And so as a life coach, I come alongside and help develop that skill, so you have a scale to weigh the things that present themselves. Not all bad, but, you know, even good things. They're good, but there's better and best, and we want to walk in what's best, what we're called to.
Great. I love that good, better, best. I think you're absolutely right. And sometimes we just do what's good, or we do what's passable, and then we sell ourselves short, you know, and then there's this kind of existential, if you will, crisis that happens, and what shoulda, coulda, woulda, and all this other stuff, and people might act out against that variance. And so, you know, but as long as you have a breath in your body, it's never too late for a fresh start, and it's never too late for a new beginning. And that's just the way it is. As long as somebody has a breath in their body, they can change. And I know that's, you know, that's just, I think, you know, I know you're nodding your head, and I know I'm nodding my head, but I have just seen that again and again. That is mercy and grace. And I've seen that again with people coming out of penitentiaries. I've seen that again and again with maybe working with clients in their 60s who are pretty set in their beliefs. I tell you what, pretty set in their patterns, and to kind of go in there with a jackhammer and not really, but, you know, break up some of those old concrete stones and free them up to live a better life. So I think that's an awesome thing. So, well, look, we're going to wind it down here in just a few seconds, and I know our listeners will want to reach out to you, and it sounds like you have a website and a possible email and some other touch points. So if you would, Donna, share with our listeners how they can get a hold of you.
I'd just like to say thank you, Bruce, again, for having me on your show. My website is findwisdomsway.com. You can contact me at Donna@findwisdomsway, or you can contact me by phone, 580-277-5120. And again, thanks, Bruce, for having me on the show.
And our pleasure here, and to bring you on, and, you know, and thanks for coming, and thanks for being, you know, a bold and solid voice for your faith and beliefs, and what you do and how you do it. You know what I mean? And it's great to have you out here in the coaching space. I know you've worked very hard to get where you're at, and I'm excited to see what happens in your future. I think it's going to be wonderful, and I think you I think you're being true to what your true purpose is, and it kind of resonates with me, and I'm sure it's going to with time and clients and activities and stuff like that. So I'm excited for you. And maybe we can have you come back on the show here in about 6 months to a year and kind of check in with you. And it's always fun to do that, to hear what all's happened in the lives and the work of a coach, particularly doing the focused and extremely personal and spiritual work that you do, to hear what all insights you've gleaned from that year. I know every year I don't know, just so much happens each passing year, and my thinking changes in accordance to that to some degree. All righty then. So, folks, thanks for listening to the show today. Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Feel free to come to the LA Talk Radio site anytime. Our shows are archived there. Of course, we're on Channel 2. And look for Bruce and Justin there on the Concierge Coaches banner. But also, our shows are on iTunes. I'm a couple weeks behind on getting those loaded, but they're going to be caught up here. But all of our prior shows since our humble beginnings in 2016 are there for you free. We take care of it so you don't have to pay. And you can go back and listen to all the prior shows with different coaches. And that's there for our listeners. And so with that, we'll bid everybody a great and blessed week. And we hope to see you here next week on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. Talk to y'all then. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.